Let us bow. Our Father who art in heaven, we are so privileged in that we woke up this morning not knowing, Father, that when we laid our body down to rest, that our feet would touch the floor this morning, O Father, and giving us the strength, the desire, and the preparation to come here on this first day of the week. This first day of the week, we are so grateful and so thankful for. You've offered unto each and every one of us and every living soul another invitation to salvation. And more important, Father, we are so thankful, so honored to give praise and glory to Jehovah, our Savior. Knowing how much he loved us, willingly to go to the cross and shed his precious blood for all of the world and for all of mankind, opening up the door of opportunity for each and every living soul to be saved by confessing him as Lord and Savior. And for this, Father, we're so grateful, so thankful, and so honored. And Father, we want to extend this heartfelt prayer for all of the precious souls that maybe wanted to be here this morning but were unable for reasons of sickness, other things that might be going on in their lives. We pray, Father, that they know that whatever they might be going through, that your word is true, because you said you would never leave us, forsake us. We're so grateful and thankful for this great promise. And Lord, we want to thank you for the lesson that Brother Norman has prepared this morning. We have the ears to hear it, the eyes to read your word, and always have a receptive mind, because we know that your word is true. And Father, we want to thank you, and we pray for all of our men, our women's, and military, for their bravery and their willingness to put their lives on the line for the safety and welfare of our country. We want to thank you, Father, for all of the doctors and the nurses and all of the service workers who step up and help those that are in need of healing due to this pandemic that we're all facing this day. And Father, we just want to thank you for this privilege to worship you in spirit and in truth, and praying, Father, that all that we say this morning, the words, the way we worship thee, Father, will find favor in thy sight. For it is in Jesus' name we praise you, give you honor and glory. Amen.
My Lord. As you can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 32, you can see the emphasis and the importance that is put on the manner in which we are to partake of the Lord's Supper, to not just look at the physical partaking of it, but to really focus on making sure our minds and our hearts are in the right place. And as you can always, as you notice, every first day of the week, you know, you hear the song leader say, he'll sing a song, and he'll say to help prepare our minds for the partaking of the Lord's Supper. Now we'll preside, we'll say a prayer for the two emblems that we're about to partake of, the bread and the fruit of the vine. You know, nothing is just rushed into, because we want to make sure that each and every one of us, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, that we do so in a worthy manner, to make sure that our minds and our hearts are in the right place as we are about to partake of this Lord's Supper, to know the importance that it has for each and every one of us. So as I said, we have the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body. We have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, thankful for this opportunity to come together in fellowship on this first day of the week, Heavenly Father, to be able to gather around the Lord's table, to come together with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father, to come together and to clear our minds, Heavenly Father, to be able to reflect back on that cruel day on the cross when thy son Jesus gave his life, becoming that perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we are about to partake of this bread, which represents thy son's body, that we'll do so in a manner that is pleasing, that is in accordance to thy will. And that we'll make sure that our minds and our hearts are in the right place at this time, Heavenly Father. For these things we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Continue. Dear Father, as we take of this cup, let's take our vision back to the cross where your Son gave his life for us. And help us, dear Father, as we take of this fruit of the vine, that we realize the importance of the blood of Christ. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, if you will raise your hands so that you may be served. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our service, which is giving. And also in the same manner in which we partake of the Lord's Supper, as you read in 2 Corinthians 9-7, the emphasis is put on the way in which we should give, you know, to make sure that our minds are in the right place as we give back, to not give because you feel like you have to give, but to give because you want to give, to show our gratitude to the many blessings that our Lord has provided for us. So let us keep that in mind as we prepare to give back. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father. Thankful for all thy blessings, for your guidance, for the comfort that you provide for us, for being by our sides, Heavenly Father, during the worst of times, bringing us joy during the best of times, watching over us as we have dealt with this pandemic, keeping us safe, keeping us healthy, being with those that have lost loved ones as a result of this pandemic, that have gone sick, and given them back their much wanted health. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for just giving us the ability to rise from our beds each and every morning, Heavenly Father, to giving us the will and the ability to go out and to work and to provide for our loved ones, Heavenly Father. And we're so thankful for this opportunity to give back a portion of those many wonderful blessings. We pray that we do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. So cheer up, my brothers, live in the sunshine, and we'll understand it all by and by. And when we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall see him in that bright mansion, and we'll understand it all by and by. Said Father alone will know all about it. Said Father alone will understand why. So cheer up, my brothers, live in the sunshine, and we'll understand it all by and by. Said we'll understand it all by and by.
The sermon title this morning again is Jesus is the Way, Truth, and Life. And the scripture reading is taken from the book of John. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Brother Skip.
Good morning. Truly, God has once again been good to us. He's spared our lives just one more time to be able to come to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Just before we get started, the leadership, we have got together and concerning our Wednesday night Bible class for our students. We're going to be opening the classes for the students on the first Wednesday in October. That's October the 6th, and it gives the teachers time, if you need any material, to get your material so we can audit, get your rooms together and sanitized. And so we're going to be meeting with the Wednesday night teachers. We're going to be meeting on Wednesday night right after service, right after our class on Wednesday night. And those that I teach on Sunday, I know we don't have classes on Sunday, but if you like to help on Wednesday night, please attend that meeting as well. So again, we're going to be opening up classes for the students on the first Wednesday in October. So just be reminded of the meeting on Wednesday night, right after our class. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. O wise eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day and for your blessings. Thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situation. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Lord, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word, Lord, the things that I say. You get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. When you look at John 14, Jesus has one of his last conversations with his followers. And he tells them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Notice Thomas says, Lord, we don't know. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus just fixed it and just simply says, I am the way. I'm the truth. And I am the life. If we just knew which way to go, what truth to trust, if we could just could be assured that life will turn out all right, then maybe we'll hold on. And so Jesus is saying that if you're looking for a way to go, that's me. If you're looking for truth you can trust, that's me. If you're looking for assurance that life would turn out all right, that's me. Trust in God. But when you trust in God, he said, trust also in me, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the key. See, you can't just use any key to get into the front door of your home. But it requires the right key. And if you want to get to know God the Father, then Jesus is the only key that lets that happen. Jesus clearly states, no one come to the Father but by me. So what is it about Jesus that makes him the way, the truth, and the life. Because everything hinges on him. That's why Jesus again said, I am the truth, I am the way, and I am the life. And so put it this way, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 11. Everything hinges on Jesus. Without Jesus, we got nothing. So why should it make any difference to us? What is it about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life that would help me deal with my doubts, with my distress, with my discouragement? Well, let's take this one step at a time this morning. First of all, Jesus is the way. How many of you this morning like getting lost? I don't like getting lost because I get lost way too often. And that's why I love a GPS. Even though I argue with it, I still love it. And so we got to understand, if you hate getting lost, then I recommend you this morning, Jesus. When you have found Jesus, you are not lost anymore. For he is the way. There are a lot of people who are afraid that their lives will end up at a dead end. They've made the wrong choices. They've gone down the wrong roads of life. When it's all said and done, they suspect that their lives are pretty empty. But you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that with Jesus. Because once you obey him, once you turn your life over to him, he'll fix all of that. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. So when Jesus recreates our lives, he gives us things to do, good works. He prepares us in advance. And when that happens, we have a promise. We have a promise in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so our promise is that if we labor for Jesus, our labor is not in vain. Jesus will take our efforts for him and makes them count for something. It doesn't matter if you made the wrong choices. It doesn't matter if you went down the wrong road. When Jesus is the way for you, you arrive at a good destination. Why? Because Jesus is the way. Then secondly, not only is Jesus the way, but we notice Jesus is the truth. Many of us are familiar with a tape measure. Brother Ken back there laughing because I don't use the tape measure real good. So many of us, we are familiar with a tape measure. And it used to do the measurements. And it tells the truth about how long an inch and a foot and a yard is. But the tape measure is not the truth. It just merely tells you the truth. And but also many of us are familiar with a leveler to make sure things are level.
If you want to build a life that will last forever, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the only level that will keep it aligned with the truth. So Jesus is the truth. He is the reality against which everything else in our world is measured. For example, do you know how valuable you are? All you got to do is just look at John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You are so valuable to God that Jesus came to die on the cross just for you and I. And that truth tells us all we need to know about how God cares for us, about God's love and mercy, and about how we can be forgiven of things that embarrasses us and causes us to be ashamed. And that truth is more important than anything this world can offer. Why is that? Because Jesus is the truth. So Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And then Jesus is the life. See, it's impossible to die to our old life and sin and then be resurrected with the same attitude, the same mind, and the same heart. That's why we have the gospel. Well, do you know what the gospel is? Well, when you look at the Greek word, is the gospel literally means good news. And do you know what God's good news is? God's good news is his gospel. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1 beginning, he said, brethren, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. And so the good news is that Jesus died for our sins. And we ought to be glad that Jesus died for all of our sin, because we couldn't save ourselves. And so we need to understand that's good news. He was buried. He rose from the dead. That's simple. And it's through the gospel that we have life in Jesus Christ. That's why baptism is the last thing sinners do before they become Christians. And I say the last thing because before baptism, sinners must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They must repent of their sins and determine not to live like that anymore. They must confess that Jesus is now their master and their owner. When they made those decisions, then they allow themselves to be buried in the watery grave of baptism. See, baptism is where we die to our sins. We are buried with Christ in a watery grave, and then we rise with him to walk in a newness of life. That's what Romans 6 and verse 3 and 4 talks about. And when you obey the gospel, when you come up out of that watery grave of baptism, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You ought to have then a new talk. You ought to have then a new walk. You ought to not live like you used to live, but there ought to be something different about how you live. People need to notice. They need to take note. You don't have to tell nobody you're a Christian. They'll see it by how you live, how you conduct your life. And so we got to understand that we are baptized for the remission of your sins. And so we were buried with him. We rose in the newness of life. And so eternal life doesn't start when we reach the Father's house. But eternal life begins the moment I die to sin. I'm raised with Christ. And not just eternal life, but abundant life. That's why he says, I come to give you life. And I come to give it to you more abundantly. And so in John 10 and verse 10, that's what he says. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that you may have life and may have it more abundantly. Because it is in Jesus, our way, our truth, and life, that we lay hold of what is truly life. So this morning, I want to close with a powerful statement. Statement by Thomas A. Kempis. He says, without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. But without the life, there is no living. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but through Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you that there is no other way than through Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I'm glad that God has made a way that we can obey the gospel, that we can live with Jesus one day. And that's why he says, you got to hear my son. Matthew 17 and verse 5, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. You got to be willing to believe that gospel. You got to be willing to repent of your sins. That means turn from those things that are wrong to those things that are right. Then you got to be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be willing to go down in that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. When you come up out of that water, as we said earlier, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The Lord then, he'll add you to his church. Acts 2, verse 47. What church? The church that he set up on this rock, I build. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16, 18. What church? The church that he purchased with his own precious blood. What church? The church that he's the head of, he's the savior of. He loved it, he's coming back for it. It's not going to have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5, 23 and following. And then you got to live faithfully. Live faithfully unto death. You receive a crown of life. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian. You've not been going the way that God wants you to go. Now is the time to make that turn and say, Lord, I've decided I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. No turning back. No turning back. If you're here subject to the invitation, come right now as we stand and sing a song of encouragement. Won't you come?
Heavenly Father, thank you for today and all the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together to learn more about your word. And with this understanding, may be able to apply it to our daily lives. Pray, Father, for the people who are traveling, that they may get to their destination safely. Pray for the people who are sick. Pray that they get back to their much-wanted health. Pray for the people who are traveling. Bless us, watch us, and guide us, and keep us safe. For we ask in Jesus' name.